Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The Fairbanks North Star Borough School District Board considers the district-wide busing contract at a meeting tonight. It's the largest contract the district has with any vendor, and if the low bid is approved, a new company will take over the transportation of students. KUAC's Robin reports.
Three proposals to provide pupil transportation were opened by the district's purchasing department last November. An evaluation team analyzed bids from Apple Bus of Cleveland, Missouri, Durham School Services of Illinois, and First Student. First Student has been the district's vendor since 2007. It has a contract through this and next school year to 2021. But after that, pupil transportation will change if the school board approves the selection of Durham, whose bid was cheapest.
The total price, we are including daily route fees, charters, and crossing guards. Those are the main components for the total price we're comparing. The difference represents approximately $400,000 before counting fuel costs.
Andy DeGraw, the district's chief operating officer, summarized the committee's decision to choose Durham School Services' proposal of $12,707,000. First Student's bid was higher at $13 million, and Apple's was $15.5 million. DeGraw spoke to the school board at their work session last week. He noted that costs for daily bus rates are going up next year, and all the proposals showed that, but Durham's was still cheaper.
The Durham costs represent a 1.9% increase over 2020, and the First Student rates represent a 5% increase.
The next contract will be for 10 years, the longest busing contract the district has had. DeGraw told the board some companies don't even look at a bid for a shorter time.
One of the key barriers to entry for a company to come in was the short five-year contract. Whatever facility they build is going to be millions of dollars. To purchase 150 buses, it's millions of dollars. If they only can bank on 5 years, that's too short of a time period to be able to get those costs back.
But costs are not the only criteria for evaluating the contract. Board members at the work session asked about background checks for drivers, requirements for warm storage for the buses, and heat and safety belts inside the buses, and how much time the drivers are behind the wheel. Member Sean Rice says safety is the district's top priority.
I don't care who gets this. You know, if most expensive one's going to be the safest one, I'm willing to pay that price.
The district has posted the different bids in last week's school board work session agenda, and more documents are posted in the agenda for tonight's regular meeting. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Preparations are well underway for this season's only rocket launch at the Poker Flat Research Range. The University of Alaska Fairbanks-owned NASA-contracted facility is scheduled to host the project this coming Sunday. Dr. Scott Bailey, formerly of UAF and now with Virginia Tech, is the principal investigator for the experiment. Dave Hill with the Special Projects Office at Poker Flat says Bailey will send up instruments to measure nitric oxide in the upper atmosphere.
So basically he's measuring gases in the atmosphere that are created by the aurora. Although his launch is not looking for aurora, he's merely taking measurements of the gas.
Like any experiment involving a rocket launch, Hill says the project requires a lot of planning and setup.
The science team started putting the payload together and getting it ready. And then we started having NASA contractors and stuff show up to start preparing the motors and getting all the communications and everything else ready to go.
While the experiment does not require active aurora, Hill says the launch is weather dependent. It's currently scheduled to go during the 4 to 5 a.m. time frame on the 26th and will be available to view online.
We're going to be doing a live YouTube stream, which anybody who knows, every time you start a YouTube stream, the web page changes just slightly. So we will be posting that on our Facebook page and Twitter feeds throughout the night as things are going on, so you can watch a live YouTube stream.
Hill says this year's only other scheduled launch at Poker Flat won't be until December. Fairbanks cross-country skier Kendall Kramer won a bronze medal today at the Youth Olympic Games in Switzerland. The 17-year-old West Valley High School senior placed third behind skiers from Sweden and Switzerland in the 5-kilometer classic technique race. Kramer's U.S. teammate Sidney Palmer Legere of Utah captured fourth place in the event, which included 77 skiers aged 15 to 18 from around the world. An Alaska man made national headlines after his remote home burned, leaving him alone with minimal supplies and no communication for 3 weeks in sub-zero temperatures. As KTNA's Philip Manning reports, Tyson Steele is now recovering with family in the lower 48, but plans to return to Alaska.
In the overnight hours of a cold December night, Tyson Steele woke up and stoked his wood stove. Since the fire had died down, he used a piece of cardboard to start it back up, then went back to bed when he saw the fire was going again. Unbeknownst to him at the time, an ember from that cardboard found its way to his roof and started a fire.
Ignites the plastic dripping through the roof.
Steele says he didn't panic at that point. Assuming it was a creosote fire in the chimney, he put snow in the stove, hoping the steam would put it out. On his second trip for more snow, he noticed the problem was much worse than he initially thought.
The whole roof above my room is on fire. And at that point, I only knew there was seconds, less than a minute, to react.
Realizing time was running short, Tyson Steele says he thought of the two things many Alaskans would: cold weather gear and his dog, Phil.
So I go to my bed, I throw a bunch of blankets and sleeping bags on the bed, wrap it up in the blanket, hoist it over my shoulder, and then I urge my dog off the bed.
Steele says his dog was huddling away from the flames, but eventually got off of the bed. He lost sight of him while making his escape from the house as the roof began to collapse. Steele was able to make a return trip to retrieve a gun that was not yet in the fire. That's when he made a terrible discovery. Phil was still inside.
The fire spreads. I have to leave. There's no choice.
The loss of his dog left Tyson Steele stunned, and he says he just sat in the snow for a little while. Soon, though, he realized he needed to get to work if he was going to save what was left of his food. After hours of shoveling snow onto the remains of his home, however, the fire refused to go out.
It was still burning underneath the snow.
Eventually, the fire did go out, and Tyson Steele was able to salvage some of the canned goods that were part of his 2-year supply of food. With some quick rationing math, he figured he could eat for 35 days. Steele had been calling his family in Utah about once a week, but occasionally missed calls. His phone, along with an in-reach device and a VHF radio, had all burned. He estimated that his family would start making phone calls if they didn't hear from him by New Year's Day. With food to last well past then, Steele began working to address a bigger problem. Temperatures at the time were dropping past 30 degrees below zero, and Tyson Steele had lost his shelter. For the first couple of nights, he slept in a snow cave. Then, over the course of about 6 days, with only gardening gloves to wear, he set to work using materials on his property that survived the fire to build a makeshift shelter, one nail at a time. With the shelter up, Tyson Steele says the best way to keep warm and thaw out his cans of food was the very same wood stove where the fire began that took his house and his dog.
I had to keep this thing that did this horrible thing to me. I had to keep it going.
Life continued that way through the first week of January. While Steele was expecting someone to eventually come for him, he assumed it would be his usual pilot in a fixed-wing aircraft. He says he was a little surprised and a bit anxious when he heard a helicopter approaching.
When I heard it was a chopper, I instantly realized, okay, this is a bigger deal. I was just happy to see you. Happy to see a friendly face.
The story of Tyson Steele surviving in the harsh climate of an Alaskan winter alone in the wilderness has spread throughout the country. He says it's resulted in comparisons to Christopher McCandless, whose story was made famous by the book and film Into the Wild. Steele says he doesn't like that comparison because, unlike McCandless, he was supplied and prepared, and as a result, survived. For now, Tyson Steele is with his family in Utah. He managed to avoid frostbite and serious injury and says his time in Alaska is not over. He plans to return and rebuild. In Talkeetna, I'm Philip Manning.
And I'm Dan Bross.